In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, on this 12th and last day of Christmas, on the second Sunday of Christmas, on this eve of the Epiphany, we come to the end of a long train of glorious feasts for the Advent Christmas season, with two glorious celebrations on Christmas Day, the Feast of Stephen, the Feast of St. John, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, the Feast of the Holy Name. And then tomorrow, we have the second zenith of the winter season, the great principal feast of the Epiphany. But to our Western minds and sensibilities, even the word Epiphany seems to us a bit foreign. Christmas is our feast. Christmas is, with all of its love and all of its and the event of the birth of a baby at Bethlehem, we hold it close. We can touch it. What does Epiphany mean? It seems somewhat elusive. And though it is a principal feast, when we celebrate it tomorrow, even with the ordination of our beloved Kyle Rader, seminarian and then priest associate or lay associate, and even with the presence of Mary Glasspool, the beloved assistant bishop of New York, even with the scenes from A Mall of the Night Visitors with so many of our youth present, we won't have the numbers, the attendance that we had at the Christmas midnight service. So what distinguishes Christmas from Epiphany? They're closely related. Well, Leo the Great, the 5th century pope, answered that question with classic brevity. He said, the one that was born through the womb of Mary on Christmas to the Holy Family at Christmas Day was made known to the world at Epiphany. And so true, Christmas is when the event of Christ's birth happened to the Holy Family. They were the witnesses. And then it is by no mistake that throughout the Christmas season, the church has always emphasized the sacredness of family. We think of the traditions of family. But Epiphany, with the star, and with the foreign kings visiting, even with the evil King Herod recognizing that a king was born, the birth was known universally to the world. Christmas is an easy feast for us to have and to hold and to love. Even our brothers and sisters from other faiths help us in our culture to celebrate its beauty and charm, because it is based on an event, the birth of God in the person of Jesus at Bethlehem. Epiphany is more of a dogma, more of a belief. The word Epiphany means appearance, a manifestation. The belief that this Jesus of Nazareth, through his miracles and teaching, appeared to us, was manifested to us as the Son of God. There's no one event. There are three staple events that this dogma becomes real for us. Three stories: the coming of the kings, the baptism of Jesus, and this first miracle of changing water into wine. And there are many more stories, including the transfiguration in the season of Epiphany. But these are the three signature stories. And yet still, it's harder to get our hands around. It's harder to have and to hold, more difficult than it is for us at Christmas. Our Eastern brothers and sisters, the Eastern Orthodox, Epiphany is their celebration, is their feast. It's bigger than Christmas. But for us, we've always adored and loved Christmas. But Epiphany is important. And I ask you, if at all possible, to come tomorrow night at 6:30. Admittedly, it won't be a 15-minute prayer service, but it's going to be meaningful, and the church promises us blessings through it. The first story, at least for us in the West, and Epiphany, is the story of the three kings arriving to the manger. Notice they're still in the midst of the poinsettias up here. And by tomorrow night, they'll be at the manger. But that is our story, our initial story of Epiphany, and it's also the story of our gospel lesson today. So I'd like to just say a few words about the story of the three kings, because their story is your story and mine. Their story of coming to the heart of Jesus is your story and my story of how we come to know Jesus Christ. First of all, the kings were the first pagans to give their hearts to Jesus, the Son of God. And I don't mean pagan in a pejorative sense at all. Only that they were not of our Lord's nation, of his tribe, of his blood. They came like most of us from afar. And they were led to Jesus by a star. And I propose that it was more than just astrological curiosity that had them follow that star. There were spiritual thoughts that combined with the star. There was a pull. There was a tug. There was a wooing of God's Spirit. And they knew that to follow that star, they would find their salvation. And so Epiphany is the time, on this eve of Epiphany and the feast tomorrow, for us perhaps in our own prayer closets, in the solitude of our homes, to think about the stars in our lives that have drawn us to Jesus Christ. Because none of us come to the heart of Jesus without stars, the wooing of influence. For some, it might be a Sunday school teacher, a grandparent, something that we've studied, perhaps the music of the church. Think about the perhaps many stars in your life that have drawn you and tugged you to the heart of Jesus Christ. This is the time of year to contemplate and think and give thanks for those stars. And then we're told that the kings gave their hearts to Jesus. And this was through the symbolism of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The rosary language, how we met, the meditation of the Holy Rosary, speaks beautifully about these gifts that we give to the Christ child, the gold of our heart's love, the incense of our prayers, the myrrh of our willingness to pay whatever cost there is to follow Jesus Christ and to love him. And that's what the kings did. They gave their hearts to Jesus. And when they gave their hearts to Jesus, they were never the same. Their lives were changed forever. And that symbolized when we are told that they left the manger and they went home another way, another road, not the same road in which they came. Of course, they, like us, faced a world, yes, full of blessings, but also crammed full of evil and prejudice and selfishness and horror. And King Herod was out to destroy the child. And their actions, their decisions, how they spent their time and their money and their words, everything in their life now, after knowing and giving their hearts to Jesus, would be different. And that is the same for Christians. Our life is never the same when we give our hearts to Christ. Think about that every Sunday when we come to the communion rail. In essence, we come the journey of the three kings. Because at the communion rail, in the mystery of the Eucharist, we meet the very presence of Jesus. And we receive his presence, but also we give him our gold, our frankincense, and our myrrh. We give him our lives. And when we go back to the pew and go back to our homes, we never go back quite the same. The story of the three kings is your story and mine. What a blessed gift of the church on this eve of the Epiphany. Amen.